The Torah, it's pretty much one of the first things we're taught about Torah, is that the Torah is not a book like any other. The Torah never wastes a single word. We darshan things from letters in the Torah. If we were Rabbi Akiva, we would even know how to darshan from the crowns on the letters of the Torah. Everything is critical. There's no extra word in the Torah. So that's one of the fundamental ideas of Torah. And yet, the Torah does seem to use a number of extra words at the beginning of this week's parsha. For some reason, the Torah feels compelled to remind us who Rivka was, as if we didn't already have a long enough introduction to Rivka in last week's parsha, when Eliezer actually goes and finds her. The Torah says she is Bas Besuel Ha'arami Mipadan Aram Achos Lavan Arami, a whole yichus about who Rivka was, who her father was, who her brother was. Now, considering that we already know Rivka, it seems that the repetition of the family lineage is a little bit strange. So Rashi, of course, picks up on it, and Rashi comments, for those who are not yet up to that in being Mavri Sedra, like I'm not, I didn't do the Rashis yet, Rashi comments, Lahagid Shivcha, this is to tell us her great praise. Shahisa Bas Rasha, Va'achos Rasha, Umakoma Anshe Resha Vlolunda Masehem. What an incredible person that she was in an environment of pure rishus. She was around rishus all the time, and somehow she managed to overcome that and not learn. And you know, that's a midah that she really passed on the generation. You know what was amazing about Yaakov Avinu raising Shifteka? Yaakov Avinu raised 12 tzaddikim, right? That's not easy to do. But okay, we do see families where they're able to raise children who are one after the other. They're all wonderful tzaddikim. But he did it in Lavan's house. You know, that's not easy to do, to raise 12 tzaddikim in Lavan's house. Rivka was a product of that. She came from an environment where everything says that she should not have turned out okay. And nevertheless, she became Rivka. However, the Mizrahi and many others are somewhat unsatisfied. Because if you want to understand the great Shevach of Rivka, you don't need to repeat that. You only need to tell it to us once. Meaning, we already know where she came from. We already saw. If you want to ask, where does the Torah say how great Rivka is in overcoming an environment? That was the point of last week's parsha. That was the whole idea. So why the necessity to repeat it? It seems totally unnecessary. So the Mizrahi and the Maharal give different answers to this question, but maybe one can answer the following. Maybe specifically at this point in time, it's critical for the Torah to mention this. Because let's pay attention to what's going on in Rivka's life at this point in time. See, Rivka experiences an unusually difficult pregnancy. Vayisrotzitzu habanim bekirba. They're fighting, there's something going on. She's very uneasy. Pregnancy in general, from what I understand, never had it, but from what I understand from my wife, is not pleasant. But this was really, really rough. She was going through a very, very difficult time. So she's perplexed, and she says, Im kein, what's the phrase? Lamaze anochi. Why this am I? It doesn't translate well, right? If so, if what is so? Why this am I? What does that mean? So she seeks guidance, and she's told, oh, shnei goyim bevitneich, shnei lu'umim imayich yiparedu. It's not an unusually crazy pregnancy. It's what we call a multiple birth. There are two children inside of you. What exactly was she bothered by, and what exactly is that answer? Could she really not figure out that she was roughly twice the size of every other pregnant lady? Like, meaning, when there's a multiple birth, maybe a man can't tell, but women, like, oh, she's having twins. You know, like, they immediately could spot these things. You don't want to guess if you're a guy. You don't want to make that guess. Oh, triplets? I'm actually not pregnant at all. you don't want to go down that road. But you know, people can spot this. If she's just worried about the difficult pregnancy and she wants to know why it's happening to her, what's the imkain? If so, if this is happening to me, then why is this happening to me? It doesn't seem to be a coherent question. And whatever the question is, we need to know how the answer answers the question. You know, how the twins makes it all okay. So I find it hard to believe that she didn't know she was having twins. I would suggest And I don't know if I heard this somewhere. I don't remember. But this is something it was in my brain at least for 20 years. So I don't know how it got there. It could have gotten there from hearing someone else say it. That Rivka was well aware that she was having twins. And not only that, if you take Chazal's statements about the kind of difficulty she was having that Rashi quotes, she goes past the Beis Medrash, and one of the babies is kicking, she goes past the Beis Avodah Zarah, and the other one, not only was she aware that she was having twins, she may have even been aware of the inclinations of the two children and how different they were from each other. And she was deeply troubled by the fact that one of her children was yearning to get out at a Beis Avodah Zarah. Where does that come from? A child of Yitzchak and Rivka. And she came to the conclusion, well, let's see. If Yitzchak and I are having two children, one of them is a tzaddik, one of them is a rasha, here's what I know about Yitzchak. He's an ola tamima. He is kadosh mirechem. He is someone who is a benon shel kadoshim. His parents were kadoshim. Everything about his upbringing was kadosh. He was brought as a korban on a mizbeach. And I come from Besuel and Lavan. I know what I come from. So who's responsible for who? Yitzchak is probably responsible for the tzaddik that's inside there. And I'm probably responsible for the Russia that's inside there. You know, the Torah reminds us of her lineage because the Torah is trying to tell us what she was bothered by. She was bothered by the fact that given her lineage, she can only assume that it was her fault. And the impression you get, certainly from the end of last week's parsha, was that Rivka was totally overwhelmed by Yitzchak's tzidkus. What happens the first time she sees him? She falls off the donkey. She's just like completely amazed. This holy man out in the field, the suach basadeh, he's davening and she's totally overwhelmed. And she has this, like, part of her that's saying, am I really worthy? Do I belong with this guy? Maybe he could do better. And now, it's all those fears and anxieties are being confirmed when she has two children inside of her. One of them is a tzaddik, one of them is a rasha. So she goes and she says, Im Cain, if all of this is true, given what I come from, where Yitzchak comes from, given that I have two babies in here, given that one of them wants to come out of the Beis Avodah Zarah, Lama ze anochi, why was I chosen? Why am I the one? I'm ruining the whole family. And what's the answer? Shnei goyim bivitnech. Shnei lumim mimeayich yiparedu. You think Yaakov is Yitzchak's kid? And Esav is yours? No. They're both part of you. You're the mother of both of these children. When a couple gets married, even if one child looks exactly like one grandfather and another looks exactly like the other, we don't assume that the father's side went into one child and the mother's side continues on into the other child. The child is a product of both sides. They create an entity that's uniquely theirs. So yeah, their backgrounds play a role, but they form this brand new family, and each child is a product of that new family. So Rivka is told, no, both of these boys come from you. Both of them come from Yitzchak. They're both products of the Rivka-Yitzchak union. And it's a very important lesson to be learned. You know, many people see their children as being different from them. They don't always share the values, the same sense of right and wrong. And sometimes parents wonder, you know, do I have what it takes to raise this child? Do I really relate to this child? And, you know, when they're very young, yeah, of course, it's easy to relate to them because they love you more than anything in the whole wide world. And then, you know, they hit adolescence and they're like, go away, you're so annoying. You know, I can't stand you. My friends are the ones that really love me and care about me. Like, you know, there's like this misguided emphasis on friends, and sometimes friends who aren't really friends. Rav Moshe Weinberg likes to point out, Reyim Ahuvim, right, means beloved friends. Reyim is Lashon Ra. Okay, so it could be, friendship could turn very bad, or it could turn very good. Chaver could be Charav, or it could be a Chibur of real, you know, Kenelecha Chaver is something that's very important. Whatever, very often the children themselves, you know, that we're most unsure about, are the ones who need us the most. And Rivka is being told, you think that Yaakov is Yitzchak's and Esav is yours? Let's see how this plays out. And how, Taka, does it play out? Esav is Yitzchak's and Yaakov is yours. The one who needs you to be there for him, who maybe doesn't have the temerity to do what needs to be done in order to secure the Bechora, and only will do it because of a little bit of the chutzpah that maybe you inherited from your side of the family. That's going to be yours. And the one who's able to relate to Esav and somehow is able to see something positive in Esav, well, that's going to be Yitzchak. It's not going to be you. You know, Sarah couldn't have Yishmael in her house. Had to throw him out because he wasn't hers. But when it's your own child, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us who we can handle, who we can be matzliach with. And it's not just about raising children. This is just true in general. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us nisyonos and personalities and intelligence, and any of the gifts that we've been given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu are gifts that we are uniquely able to handle. And even if it doesn't feel like it fits, you know, I live in a community where my talents don't seem to be recognized. I go to a yeshiva where maybe my uniqueness doesn't seem to shine through. Whatever the circumstance one finds himself in, a person should never feel that he's ill-equipped to handle life. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us here, we're equipped to handle it. We just have to know how to use our kochos and how those kochos are going to be used properly in Avodas Hashem. So Rivka learned a critical lesson, and it had to be learned before she began raising her children. Before they even came out, it had to be learned. Because she could not be miyaish on the avoda of raising her children, nor could she feel inferior to her husband if it was going to be a successful marriage in raising children. She had to feel like she was a partner. And that had to be confirmed. Shnei goyim, and then she was ready to have the children. What? Did he say, oh, don't worry, it's okay? Why would that make her feel better? Oh, one of them is a Rasha. No, what makes her feel better is she knew one of them is a Rasha. What makes her feel better is she's not inadequate. She is capable. And she's going to be an Aim be Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving her the Nisyonos that Dafka she can handle. Okay.